to House Bill 1078, an act to permit the court to impose certain costs and fees as part of the disposition for a delinquent child.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dallas Johnson. I'm the Deputy State Court Administrator for the Unified Judicial System. I'm here this morning on behalf of House Bill 1078. It's an act to permit the court to impose certain costs and fees as part of the disposition for a delinquent child. Statute 26HC7 outlines the dispositional authority of the court, and we are asking to amend that statute to add that the court may assess or tax costs and fees permitted by 16241, 23352, 23A2726, and 23A2727 against the child, parent, guardian, custodian, or other party responsible for the child. In essence, the court has 3 points to make on this bill. The first is that 16241, which is court automated surcharge, and 23352, which is commonly referred to as the LEOTF or training funds, that these statutes are user fees. And juveniles come into the system, they are users of the system, just the same as adult criminals or in the civil side. If somebody comes into court with a civil case, there are civil filing fees on the adult criminal side. The courts always assess costs and fees there. So it is the court's position that these are user fees and that the juveniles need to participate in their part of the system also. The second point I'd like to make is that when a child comes into court under a delinquent action and is subsequently placed on probation or placed under a court order, frequently the court may impose a sanction which requires the child to submit to urinalysis or other testing. And the probation officers, the court service officers, may test this individual 2 or 3, 4 times, have positive tests, or in other words, the tests come back that the child continues to use drugs or substances, and is subsequently violated and sent to the Department of Corrections. Once that happens, since our current order is in the probation order, we have no ability to go back against the parent for the cost of those chemical tests and fees. And so this legislation allows us to go back and assess costs against the parents for those fees. In our drug testing or urinalysis system, we do not wish to use general funds money for that. We try to make this as a program that pays for itself. So anytime that we do urinalysis, we attempt to collect the cost for the urinalysis so that the program substantiates itself. The last point I'd like to make is that last year, when the legislature moved 3592, which is the underage consumption possession of alcohol, from magistrate court to juvenile court, it affected our fee system and it in this way. Prior to July 1 of 2000, the juveniles went into magistrate court for the underage possession or consumption charge. As part of their disposition in magistrate court, they were assessed costs and fees. Now that they are in juvenile court, without this statutory authority, we cannot assess those costs and fees, which has an impact on our court automation funds and also our LEOTF or training funds. So those are the three issues that we have, and that's why we presented this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Question. Senator Ketzel.
This deals just strictly with underage consumption and possession?
No, it does not. That was just one of the points that I wanted to make, is how that involves. This deals with any delinquent child.
Senator Ketzel.
Now we're talking somebody, or a child, if you will, I guess, that is strictly in a probation atmosphere, not somebody who's like maybe in DOC.
I'm not sure that I'm understanding where you're coming from.
Okay, an example will be, this deals strictly with probation. It doesn't deal with if a child is at Plankinton.
Not necessarily. What it says is that, if I could refer to the statute for just a second, 26HC7 is the dispositional statute for delinquent children. So if a child has, in other words, to be a delinquent, first of all, you have to have committed a crime that if you're an adult would be considered a crime or committed an offense. And so, and also that you're under the age of 18 at the time that you commit that. And if you are adjudicated and now you're at the time of disposition or the court sentencing, one of the possible options is that the court can place you on probation, or the court can fine you, or the court can commit you to the Department of Corrections. But also in that is the ability with this legislation for the court to assess some costs and fees on the child or on the parent.
Senator Ketzel.
Okay, just kind of as a follow-up on that, we know, for example, right now that within juvenile corrections, parents are being billed, if you will, for their children being in corrections, and we've got even a printout of some of that information. Does this allow the opportunity, if you will, to double up, meaning the court system charges, DOC charges, and all of a sudden now the parents are getting hit again? Do you see, follow my logic there?
Yes, I do. And if I could maybe try to differentiate between the two, what the DOC does, as once the child is committed to the Department of Corrections and that child goes into the correctional system, the Department of Corrections comes back to try to recoup some costs that they are expending for that child while they're at the Department of Corrections. This, in essence, is somewhat similar, but there are some differences. This imposes a fine or assessment against the parent for the time that they spent in with the UJS or in the judiciary, not only while they're on probation, but say, for example, maybe I could explain it this way. We have parents who, I'm going to back up one second. The theory of parens patriae, where the state becomes the parent, is kind of the theory behind juvenile court systems. The state doesn't want to become the parent. The state wants the parent to become the parent. And so if we are in a position where we can add some motivation to the parents to be a parent and take care of the situation, we are all for that. And so that's why we are asking for the ability, number one, to assess some costs and fees when it's appropriate, to assess costs and fees for those expenses that we have incurred, such as in the year analysis or specialized testing, and also because we believe that the child and the juvenile has used the system.
Senator Hugg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dallas, what we're really talking about here is an effort for the court to start charging for services that heretofore the court had to pay for out of the general fund or some other fund. So it's a means of allowing the court to now assess those costs onto either the child or the child's parents. Am I right?
That's correct.
Do you know how much we're talking about in terms of the impact that these kinds of UAs and other services, how much does that cost the court in its general fund right now?
Right now, our UA program, using that as an example, basically is a break-even. We collect money from children and from adults too on our adult side, but and our UA program isn't split up between juvenile and adult. We run our UA program just as a, but for budgetary purposes, just as one pot of money. And we collect X amount of dollars, and it costs us a little bit less than that to perform the test. So we have a little bit of a cushion in there, but essentially, our pot of money is just a break-even. We don't really make any money off it. And what we're trying to do is to be sure that we're in a position that when that we can collect all that we should be collecting when these people use that particular service from us. The other thing I might add is that with regards to 3592, which is the juveniles charged under underage consumption and possession charges, when I just went back and did some compiling of statistics based on FY 97, 98, and 99. 1997, there was 2,714 convictions. In 98, there was 3,153. In 99, there was 3,286 convictions. Now, that would have been in magistrate court for juveniles charged with underage consumption. We are projecting that we will probably be looking at somewhere around 3,450 juveniles in juvenile court now this year for that. Based upon the fee for the court automation fund, that alone amounts to about $30,000 that we will lose based over FY 97, 98, and 99 without this legislation.
Further questions, Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dallas, you said we would go in and do this when we consider it appropriate. What would be appropriate? Define appropriate for me.
Okay. First of all, the language in the statute says that the court may assess these costs and fees. It doesn't say that the court shall. I would stick with maybe three points to your question, Senator Moore. One is, as I mentioned before, is when in the court's opinion, it is appropriate to provide some motivation to the parent to become actively involved with their child. In other words, providing the structure and discipline in order to keep their child out of trouble. Two, when we have used our urinalysis program and we have costs to collect back for the urinalysis program. And three, for the underage consumption possession charge, the ability to collect the LEOTF and court automated training funds.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Moore.
I guess that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is, in what instance do you think it's appropriate that you bill the parents for it? What guidelines do you have to say, well, I think we'll bill this set of parents, but we're not going to bill this set of parents for these costs? And can you tell me what the average cost would be? You know, as I look through this, you know, the only thing that I'm certain of is that it could be an additional $27, probably no less than $27, and maybe a lot more than that when you get the cost of prosecution in there, as it states in 23A, 27, 26, and sheriff fees and so on. So what do you think the average cost to parent would be?
I don't have any idea what the average cost to parent would be. I'm not trying to dodge your question, but you're asking me to make a statement based upon what a judge would require at the time of disposition. There are a number of sanctions on that statute that the judge can impose, including a fine, and I'm not in a position to second-guess a judge as to what he would do or find appropriate.
Mr. Chairman? Well, that's, I guess, one of the things I'm getting at here. In addition to a fine, which could be of significance, we could have significant additional costs added to the parent. And in most cases, I'm going to put you on the spot again, Dallas. I'm going to ask you this question. Most individuals who go into juvenile court, are their parents in a position to pay these additional costs, or do their children come from wealthy, affluent families who will have no problem paying those additional costs?
And again, Senator Moore, I'm not going to try to dodge your question, but I might answer it this way. The whole purpose behind juvenile court is to correct the behavior that brought him into the system so that we don't have a continuation. If a cost can be considered maybe part of a tuition fee for a tough learning experience, as a parent, I had a daughter that just turned 16 last week, so she now has a full driver's license. But prior to that, she had her restricted permit. And, of course, the old leverage of, geez, Dad, everybody else gets to drive after 8 o'clock. They get to drive home from the ball games. Why won't you let me? Has anybody else heard that in here?
I've heard it four times. That was the fourth one.
The fact that there was a penalty there that could also go against me was as much of a motivation to not give in to her as anything. Did I answer your question, Senator Moore? I'm sorry.
No, but that's okay.
Senator Quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dallas, I appreciate the manner in which you are presenting this legislation. I think you're doing a great job. And I also think that this legislation really, with great respect to the unified judicial system, but I think unless I'm way out in left field, this is a backdoor approach to receive additional funding for the judiciary, is it not? Unless the judiciary deducts from its budget whatever amount of money it expects to recoup through assessing fines onto adjudicated delinquent children and or their parents, then it's a means of getting additional revenue for the court's operation. Isn't that true? And if I might, Mr. Chairman, I mean, I have long been an advocate for the courts, and I'm not suggesting to you that I don't think it's necessary for the court to have an adequate budget. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to make sure I understand what this bill really does.
Senator DeHuick, that was not the court's motivation when we brought the legislation. Our motivation for bringing the legislation was twofold: to have the ability to go and collect our costs based off the year analysis that we would have done, and to be able to collect those fees when the child is no longer under our custody or authority. We never had custody, but under our authority. And two, to replace the funds that we lost when children under 3592 went from magistrate court to juvenile court. Those were the two basic motivations.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? If not, are there further proponents of House Bill 1078? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1078? If none, we'll close to testimony and open to committee motion and discussion. Is there a motion? Senator Moore.
I don't know if I'm ready to make a motion or not, but I'm ready to make some preface comments, if I might. Then maybe I'll make a motion. I guess I understand where UJS and the Chief Justice are coming from here. But, you know, I guess in my humble opinion, we look at our children today and we say, how can we make those children learn? And we sometimes think, well, by golly, we're going to make them learn through this. You know what? You're not making them learn through this. Number one, we all have children or have had children at home, and they've all disappointed us from time to time. But I think what this bill does, in my humble opinion, what this bill does, it sends the message to the child. It says, it doesn't matter how much trouble I get into, because guess who's going to pay the bill? Mom and Dad. You know, sure, they can charge the juvenile out for it, but who ultimately pays it? It gives the juvenile actually that much more latitude or rope to go out, because he knows he isn't going to have to worry about it. South Dakota codified law is going to say Mom and Dad are going to have to pay for it. What sanctions are going to be imposed against me? None.
But if Mom and Dad don't pay for it, the taxpayer is going to pay for it.
Well, the point I'm making here is we are not addressing the wealthy and the affluent. And some of these people are poor people. Most of them whose children appear in court are very poor. And they quite frankly do the best they have with the resources they have. And now we want to impose additional sanctions on them. And I think that's just absolutely incredible when we watch these people on a daily basis try to make ends meet. They're working two or three jobs, and that's probably one of the reasons their children are in trouble. The other reason is when they do get in trouble, we've kicked them out of all curricular activities in school, so they go out and get in more trouble.
Let's stick to the bill.
Well, that's part of the bill. We're part of the problem. And now the poor parent that's working three jobs, we want to put additional sanctions on them. Therefore, I make a motion to defer to the 41st day.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that House Bill 1078 be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Is there discussion of that motion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. The Secretary will call the roll.
DeHewitt?
Aye.
Angie?
No.
Kessel?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Dugard?
No.
Whiting?
No. That motion, 3-3, that motion fails. We have another motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Moore.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to table House Bill 1078.
Is there a second? Second by Kessel. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make substitute motion to pass.
Substitute motion to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Dugard. Discussion. Secretary will call the roll.
Could I ask a question?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure. Maybe Dallas can answer this, or maybe Charlie. When the court, like on a DUI, where the court orders the payment of costs by the individual, do you know if that's mandatory or permissive, where the court may or may not? I mean, it's routine in this circuit, pretty much, that those costs are always ordered.
Bullet isn't here.
Do you know?
Liquidated costs are mandatory. And costs of prosecution, I believe, are discretionary. So the court costs, the money for LEOTF, for court automation, for 911 training, those are mandatory. I'm pretty sure that's a shell. And I believe that costs of prosecution is a may. I'm not positive about costs of prosecution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a follow-up, then, if I might. Just a quick follow-up.
Yes, Senator Hill.
I appreciate it. Then, Charlie, do you think in this bill it's permissive on the... do you think that's the appropriate way to handle that, or should it be mandatory?
If you want to treat juvenile offenders the exact same way you treat adult offenders, you should change it to shall.
I would submit, though, that leaving it discretionary does, to a certain extent, answer Senator Moore's concerns that those people who are obviously unable to pay can be accommodated by the court. Senator Kessel.
I guess I have a question. Can you substitute motion or a tabling motion?
Can you make a substitute to a tabling motion?
I don't believe you can.
I would. It's probably relevant.
But well, it's at any rate, we have a due pass motion.
That's true.
The motion we have before us is to...
First, we had a motion to table, and the substitute motion was due pass.
It was due pass. So the motion before us is a due pass motion. Is a further discussion? If not, we'll vote on the due pass motion. All those voting it by saying aye, opposed, vote nay. Secretary Colorado.
I think Senator Kessel was saying that he didn't think that you could have a substitute motion to do pass of a tabling motion.
Oh, I see.
I think we just can't have discussion on the tabling motion. I think
you're correct. I think it's the discussion that is restricted, not the substitute motion. Anyway, that's the way the chair will rule, unless I'm outvoted. Secretary will call the roll. Motion is due pass.
DeHewitt?
Aye.
Angie?
Aye.
Kessel?
No.
Moore?
No.
Dugard?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
4 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1078 goes out with the due pass recommendation.